Good morning. Woke a few of you up there. Sorry about that. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church on this eighth Sunday after Pentecost. Today is a great day. We get to celebrate how God's Word helps produce and nourish our faith. And you'll see that reflected throughout the service today. Part of that nourishing of faith today we get to see in the sacrament. We'll celebrate the Lord's Supper today. So if you are a member of St. Mark's or of a church within our fellowship, we ask that you come forward at the proper time and to receive the body and blood of the Lord. If you are not a member of St. Mark's or of a church within our fellowship, we ask that you refrain from taking the Lord's Supper. If you have any questions about that, please see me after the service. I'd love to explain that to you and talk to you about how you can commune with us in the future. Our opening hymn today is actually going to be a solo that we will join in on the refrains. So I believe it's Psalm 63. May God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin. For faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy and to bring forth fruits in faith and hope and love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. First lesson this morning, as we look at how God's word is planted in our hearts, comes from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. Here Isaiah shows us that God's word is always effective. It always achieves its purpose. And God's ultimate purpose is to make faith grow. From Isaiah 55. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. The word of the Lord. We join together in the psalm of the day, Psalm 65. The second lesson this morning comes from Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. This reflects the gospel lesson today, where we see that there are varying responses to the word of God. And even though Paul experiences that, Jesus still encourages him. We read from Acts chapter 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. The word of the Lord. The verse of the day comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. Alleluia. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. Alleluia. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 13.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From Matthew 13. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, Almighty God, your word is cast.
Almighty God, your word is cast.
grace and goodness are yours from God our Father and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for today, as I said, comes from the gospel lesson, Matthew 13, which you just heard read. So let us pray. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your goodness. Amen. He who has ears, let him hear. Or maybe, if you have eyes, let them see what I have today. You recognize these? Sure you do. Yeah, these are garden tools, right? Any gardener will be able to recognize these. Anybody who's seen these working in the garden? This one, I believe, I've been told, is called a cultivator. My friend Google confirms that. And I guess the purpose of this one, which is also called a hand tiller, actually, is to till the soil so that it prepares it for the seed to be sown. It also can weed out different weeds that grow in the garden as well. Okay, so lots of tools with this. I'll be careful with this one. This one's a little sharp. This one, I believe, is simply called a trowel or a scoop or a hand spade, different names for it as well. And this one helps the root grow deep, so you can plant it deep down, or it can help transplant different plants, or again, take out weeds. And these are just two of the tools that a gardener has for a garden. There are lots of them. If you go to Lowe's, you see, wow, you're overwhelmed by the number of garden tools there are. Well, you and I have some tending to do as well. You and I tend our hearts. And God has given us a number of tools to do so. Because there are a lot of threats that come in this life to our hearts and to faith. So, God gives us the tools. And we'll see that a heart that hears yields a good crop. He who has ears, let him hear. Remember when I was growing up, that sounded like such a strange phrase. You think anyone in the crowd, as they're listening to Jesus, is probably looking at somebody else going, well, yeah, that's what you hear with, right? But as you get into Matthew chapter 13, and you see Jesus speaking all of these parables, you start to see why he says that. What it is, it's an invitation. Jesus is painting these pictures, and he wants you to look at the picture, study it, listen to it, try to understand it. He wants you to hear it, but really hear it. And so he says, let he who have ears, let him hear. The parable before us today, thankfully, not only does Jesus give us the parable, but later on, the disciples write down his own explanation for it. So today, with the parable of the sower, or the soils, we get to see Jesus' own commentary. So we who have ears, let us hear. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop. 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus is painting a picture of a farmer out in the field, and today you have all of this fancy equipment that helps get all the seed into the ground. Well, back then they didn't have that. Back then all they simply had was a strap around their necks with a big pouch of seed on their hip. And they'd grab a handful of the seed and toss it out into the field. And it'd fall into different types of soil around the field. Jesus later on will tell his disciples that the seed stands for the word of God. And the soil, we kind of get the idea that it's each a different condition of the human heart. So the main thrust of the whole parable is about how the human heart can receive God's word in different ways. He who has ears, let him hear the parable. The first type of soil Jesus talks about is the soil that consists of the path. When I was younger, I used to think that it was some sort of sidewalk. Don't think that. They didn't have that back then. This is just simply a path of dirt that people have walked on so many times that it becomes hard-packed. It's almost impenetrable for a seed to get through. And so when a seed falls on it from the sower, it's easy pickings for those birds to swoop down, snatch it up, and devour it. The seed doesn't even get a chance. Jesus later explains this type of soil to the disciples. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This isn't just a not understanding here. This is a lazy attitude of, I don't even care. I don't even care to listen, much less try to understand. This person has probably disregarded God's word so many times that their heart is this hard-packed soil. And devil, being who he is, does what he does, swoops in, takes that word of God away before it can do anything for the person. That's the first type of soil. He who has ears, let him hear. The second type of soil is the rocky soil. This type of soil was common in Palestine. Palestine, you had a lot of patches where there was some shallow earth with some bedrock underneath, or maybe some large rocks in different patches. And this type of soil, the seed would actually start to grow and sprout up, but because of the rock, it couldn't go down and create a root. It had to go up. So when the sun came, that earth, that small layer, was heated up pretty hot because that Palestinian, that Sacramento-like sun, would really scorch that soil. And sure enough, the plant would dry up. According to Jesus, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The excitement of faith does start in this person's heart, but maybe they thought that Christians were always happy for some reason in this life. And when trouble comes, they think, it's not worth it. Or maybe persecution comes because of their faith, and they think, I didn't sign up for that. Get rid of this. And so they disregard the word. Their faith dries up. That's the second type of soil. He who has ears, let him hear. The third type of soil is the soil that had the thorns in it. Thorns, as they grow up, would sap the nutrients from this sprout. And eventually the sprout had nothing to grow with, and it would wither away and die as well. Jesus explains this one. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. So just like thorns can grow up and choke the life out of a plant, the worries of this life and the focus on money and only money and the things and the happiness that it tries to bring chokes the person, and eventually the spiritual nutrients soaked up. Nothing left for the person's faith. That's the third type of soil. He who has ears, let him hear. So which type of soil are you? None of those. You're none of those soils. You have ears. You're the good soil. By God's grace, even though when you entered this world you had that hard-packed type of soil on your heart, God in his grace cultivated it. He dug deep, and his word was planted in you, and it sprang beautifully to life. And now God nourishes your faith. If you're an adult, he nourishes that and gives you the seal of baptism. Or maybe that's how you came to faith when you were a child. He gives us his word in Sunday mornings. He gives us his sacrament to help nourish and cultivate our faith. He gives us a lot of tools. You and I are the good soil. We are rooted in Christ. We have his righteousness. We have his forgiveness. We have his love. You and I are the good soil. And because we're good soil, as Jesus explains, we get to produce a crop. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. A good yield back in that day was 10 times. So 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Now we're talking about a good yield. Why the different numbers? Well, God gives different gifts to different people, puts them in different situations. People do with those situations different things, and so you develop a different crop. You yield a different crop. 100, 60, 30, doesn't matter. It's all a good crop. It's from the good soil, and that's you. When you hear the word, when you put it into action, when you speak the word, when you do good deeds, all of these things are producing a crop around you because you're the good soil. You're that fourth type of soil. He who has ears, let him hear. But just because you and I are the good soil doesn't mean that we don't have threats that we have to try to cultivate. Doesn't mean that we have things that try to make us into bad soil. So we have to be careful. The Holy Spirit brought us to faith, but now you and I get to cooperate now that we're in faith and help nourish the soil that is in our hearts. You and I are the good soil, but sometimes, just like the path soil, we can ignore God's word. Now, maybe when I said that, your first thought was how we ignore God's word and go right into a sin. That's true, that happens. You and I can sometimes willfully go into a sin because we want the pleasure of that sin instead of God's word. That's true. So let us tend our hearts. We who have ears, let us hear God's warning about sin. But we also ignore God's word in a different way. Did you realize that? Sometimes you and I ignore God's word when it tries to heal us. The devil's really good at doing this. The devil, what he does is he tries to put those layers of hard-packed sin and guilt and shame on top of us. So now that we have this picture of God, that he's only some angry God at us, or that he doesn't even love us or couldn't possibly love us. Don't let the devil do that. It's a lie. Let us tend our hearts. He who has ears, let him hear God's message of forgiveness. You and I are the good soil, but sometimes we can look like that rocky soil. You and I are firmly rooted in Christ, but sometimes we let the difficulties of this life get to us. Sometimes you get through a difficulty and you think, wow, I made it through. All right. And I'm stronger for it. But as you're going through the difficulty, we can weep and wail and go, why God? Why me? Why are you doing this to me? Don't you love me? We forget about the times that God puts difficulties in our lives to strengthen us. Because God's good like that. God's really good at working through difficulties, if you haven't noticed already in your life. You could go all the way back to the beginning of sin, and God shows that. When Adam and Eve first sinned and brought all the difficulties into this life, God shows his goodness. The whole world got to see his love and grace when he promised a Savior. And that Savior knew difficulty, didn't he? He knew our difficulty. And look at the good that came to it from it through him for you and me. Eternal life, forgiveness, peace. He who has ears, let him hear God's love through good times and bad. You and I are the good soil, but sometimes we can look like that soil with thorns. We know worries well, don't we? We have lots of worries pile up. We have worries about our kids, worries about our relatives, our friends, ourselves, our houses, our jobs, our property, all the things that we have. All these worries start to stack up, and it's almost choking the spiritual life out of us. And that's especially true with money, isn't it? Sometimes we get so focused on paying the bills and doing this and that that we forget about God's word. And that starts to choke us, and we have no spiritual nourishment coming in. See, money tries to promise you joy and happiness, but really, It's all deceit. It doesn't give you true happiness, and that's what Jesus is talking about. And as these things pile up, you and I remember that we have to use the tools that are available to us. God's word to weed out those deceitful worries. He who has ears, let him hear about God's love through deceitful worries. You and I are the good soil, and so we produce a crop. And you'll start to realize that as you do these things, as you tend to your heart, that you'll start to produce an even more and more crop. Saying no to the devil, shooing him away, shooing that nasty bird away over and over again, you start to realize it can get easier. Strengthening your root through Bible study, whether that's here on Sunday mornings or throughout the week, or Bible information class coming up, hint, hint. Personal devotion time at home. Strengthening your root in Christ will make it easier for you to face all the difficulties. You'll know that you have Jesus, and that's what matters most. Weeding out those deceitful worries will help you focus on God and what's most important in this life. And when you do all of those things, the people around you will notice. They'll see your strength versus evil and versus deceit and versus darkness. They'll see how strong your root is in Christ and how you don't seem fazed as they are when it comes to difficulties. They'll see that. Your words of encouragement, all of it, will help them start to produce a crop. And them, from them will come a crop, and from them will come a crop, and from them will come a crop, and before you know it, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Let us tend our hearts, because he who has ears, let him hear how God produces a crop through you and me. So yeah, God gives us lots of different tools to use as we tend our hearts in this life. We have lots of threats, so as gardeners of our hearts, we can get rid of those threats. Baptism, Lord's Supper, God's word, God's love through good times and bad. God's forgiveness, God's warning against sin, all of it, strengthening ourselves. Because we know, thanks to God, that a heart that hears yields a good crop. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen. Please stand. May that seed of faith planted in your hearts and grown to maturity guard your hearts and minds through faith in him. Amen. We now speak our, confess our faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. Thank you. In the prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including Rick Covey, Bev Heinitz, Jillian Herrera, Wilbur Pullman, the brother of Betty Arney, and Wilbur's wife, Ethel, Christy Rayner, Karen Parks, daughters of Carol Orbeck, Pam Harrison, who is undergoing surgery this week, Clara Jackson, who is also undergoing surgery, and Pam Drennan, who is recovering from surgery. We also pray for all of those celebrating anniversaries, including Don and Linda Black, celebrating 20 years of marriage. And we pray for all of those celebrating birthdays. Prayer of the Church, page 11. We pray. Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people. We especially thank you for the gift of your one and only Son, who has ascended into heaven and sits at your right hand. We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne and that he intercedes for us in all our needs. Send your Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds with understanding and knowledge of your heavenly truths. Give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children. May they teach their children to love you, to practice virtue, to desire to pursue instruction in your word, and to serve your church and all people. Hear the prayers of all who are afflicted. In the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety, bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. Holy Spirit, strengthen and perfect the love of all married people. Motivated by your word and sacrament, give them a rich love for each other and a dedication to forgive as you have forgiven us. Dear Lord, we know that you bless us each and every day. Continue to bless those who are celebrating birthdays. Give them the chance to see your grace and reflect that same love to everyone around them. Motivate us all to use the time you give us on this earth to proclaim your name in our words and actions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus. To him be praise and honor and glory and power now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who called us to be his own so that we may live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Lord,
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
The price. Thank you.
give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, Sent Forth by God's Blessing.
Isn't Pastor Growth glowing with the gospel? So, another beautiful day in Northern California. There's no place I'd rather be this morning than in God's house with you. We thank you for being here. We welcome you. Please join us for Bible class or Sunday school right after this service. And then I have some other announcements. The first one being Bible information class, and this is the only one that's not in here. So everything else you can look up either online or on this sheet. But Bible information class starts September 24th, and that is a great place to be. There's three blessings you get from Bible information class. Well, probably more than that, but at least three big ones. One, that basic Bible teaching, you learn all of that. Two, you might be able to join our family officially. But three, you form a bond with those people in that class, and they're friends for life. So those are three wonderful things about BIC. September 24th, Sunday evenings at 5. And that'll be in here, and we'll get everybody signed up and probably have a big one. Other things that are in the announcements, Crossroads funding. Look at that if you are so moved. There's a little bit of room to go still to get that phase 3 going. The campus work day is August 12th. The sign-up is on the whiteboard back there. You can sign up to a specific task, and then we'll hold you accountable for that. So, Luther movie, is coming up October 9th, so if that's in the announcements, get your tickets online. We need to sell a lot of tickets to hold that theater. I'm sure that won't be a problem, but do it early and get those on. And then the Ladies Night Out in August, but the sign-up is done tomorrow, so make sure you're signed up by tomorrow night if you're going on Ladies Night Out, and Adrian Bangle is the contact on that. And then the reason I asked to do announcements, and I usually think they're too long, sometimes you see me back there going too many things, but Board of Outreach is planning two things. September 30th is going to be a church picnic. We're going to slate it a Meet the New Pastors picnic. It's going to be at Fair Oaks Park. And 2 weeks prior to that, we're going to go out with our Mighty Warriors, praise and proclaim style, and invite our community to the picnic. So September 16th, Mighty Warriors go out, and September 30th is the church picnic. And that's in here too. So contact me if you can join in on that. And we'll have signups next week. Greet each other and have a great day. We'll see you in Bible class.